All right, so chapter 12, right?
Yeah.
From Speak Out, Call In.
Yeah.
Informative speaking, not exactly the most thrilling thing, you
Yeah.
know. But stick with us for this deep dive, and I promise we'll make it way more interesting than just reading the chapter.
For sure.
Plus, you'll totally ace your next speech.
Absolutely. And maybe even impress your professor a little, right?
Exactly.
So informative speaking, it's more than just like, throwing a bunch of facts at people and hoping something sticks.
Right,
It's about getting your audience to really think, maybe see things a little differently,
yeah.
and maybe even like inspire them to do something.
So the book lays out three main things that informative speaking can do.
Okay.
First, helping your audience understand something better.
Right.
Second, showing them a new way to look at something. And third, just making them aware of something they didn't know before.
Yeah, I like that.
So let's say you're giving a speech on the history of video games.
Okay, cool.
You could talk about how the technology's changed over time, or you could focus on the cultural impact of gaming.
Yeah, totally.
Or even like dive into the world of competitive esports, you know, that whole scene.
Right. It all depends on what you think your audience would be most into, what would be relevant to them.
Now, one thing the book really stresses is the difference between informative speaking and persuasive speaking.
Yeah, that's a big one.
It's subtle but important.
It is.
So, persuasive speaking, it's all about convincing your audience to agree with you.
Right, to take your side.
But informative speaking, you might be introducing new ideas, but you're not trying to push them to pick a side.
Yeah.
It's more about giving them knowledge, like empowering them.
Right. Letting them make up their own minds.
So let's say I'm giving a speech about renewable energy sources.
Okay.
I wouldn't try to convince everyone to like install solar panels on their roof.
Exactly, yeah. You'd
Yeah.
lay out the facts about solar, wind, geothermal,
Right.
all that. But you'd let your audience decide which one they think is the best option.
Okay. So you're giving them the tools to make an informed decision,
Exactly.
not telling them what to think.
Right.
Now, the book also talks about these four different types of informative speeches.
Yeah, I was just getting to that.
We've got descriptive, definitional, explanatory, and demonstrative.
Right. They're like different approaches you can use, different tools in your toolbox,
Okay, I like that. So, first up, descriptive speeches. The book says it's all about painting a vivid picture with your words.
Yeah, so like imagine you're talking about a trip you took to like a really cool foreign country.
Okay.
You wouldn't just list the places you went.
Right.
You'd use sensory details.
Okay, so like what it felt like, what you saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like make your audience feel like they're right there with you. They
Interesting.
can feel the sand between their toes, taste the spices in the food, hear all the crazy sounds of the city,
That's cool. Okay, what about definitional speeches?
Definitional. These are all about taking like a big, complicated concept or idea and making it crystal clear.
Okay, yeah.
So let's say you're giving a speech on artificial intelligence.
Okay, very relevant these days.
Super relevant, right? You'd start by defining exactly what AI is, break down all the parts, and explain how it actually works.
So it's like giving your audience a map to navigate this complicated, you know, landscape.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
You're helping them understand something that might seem confusing or intimidating at
Okay,
first.
that makes sense. Now, on to explanatory speeches.
Okay, yeah. Explanatory. So these are all about processes, like how things work.
Right.
So imagine you're explaining how a bill becomes a law.
Okay.
You would walk your audience through each step of the whole process, from like the very first proposal all the way to the final vote.
Oh, so it's kind of like you're giving your audience a behind-the-scenes look at something,
Yeah,
right?
exactly. Yeah. And you can also use this type of speech to debunk any like common myths or misconceptions people might have.
Interesting. Okay, and finally, we have demonstrative speeches. So the book calls these the how-to guides of the speaking world.
Yeah, exactly. These are where you actually show your audience how to do something. So
Okay.
let's say you're giving a speech on how to change a tire.
Right, a classic.
You'd actually demonstrate each step, use clear language and visuals to help people follow along.
So it's like a live tutorial.
Basically. And it's a great way to make the information really practical and relevant for your audience.
Okay, I like that. Now, the book also points out that these four types, they aren't like mutually exclusive.
Oh, absolutely not.
Like you can have a speech that combines elements from a few different types.
Yeah, for sure. In fact, most informative speeches do that.
Okay.
So let's say you're giving a speech about the benefits of meditation.
Okay.
You might start by like giving a descriptive overview of the different meditation techniques.
Okay.
Then you could define mindfulness, you know, explain how it affects your brain, and then even demonstrate like a simple breathing exercise.
So you're kind of using the right tool for the job at each point.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
You wouldn't use a hammer to screw in a light bulb, would you?
Okay, that's really helpful.
Oh, okay.
So now that we have a better understanding of these different types of informative speeches,
right,
let's talk about actually developing one.
Okay.
The book emphasizes picking a topic that's both focused and unique.
Yeah.
And this is something I always struggle with. Like, it's tempting to pick a really broad topic, but then I get overwhelmed and my speech ends up feeling superficial.
Yeah, it's like trying to fit the entire ocean into a teacup. You know?
Right, exactly.
You've got to narrow it down to something manageable, something engaging.
So how do you find that, you know, that sweet spot?
Yeah.
Where your passion and your audience's interest meet?
Well, you got to start by brainstorming. Just jot down any topic that pops into your head.
Okay.
Even if it seems too broad or too narrow at first.
Yeah.
Then start asking yourself some questions. What parts of these topics are most interesting to me?
What do I already know a lot about? What's a unique perspective I can offer? Something my audience hasn't thought about before.
And it reminds me of like that episode of Malcolm Gladwell's podcast, Revisionist History, about the Boston Tea Party.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of talking about the whole event, he focused on like the smuggling operations that made it all happen.
Yeah, it was such a fresh take.
Totally. So once you've got your topic, it's time to think about structure, right?
Absolutely.
And the book really, really pushes having a clear structure. Why is that so important?
Well, it's like building a house. You need a strong foundation, you know, and a good framework to hold everything up.
Right.
It's the same for a speech. A clear structure helps you organize your thoughts, present your information logically, and keep your audience engaged.
Okay, that makes sense. So what are the key parts of a good structure?
Well, the book breaks it down into three main sections. You've got the introduction,
right,
the body, and the conclusion.
Okay, so let's start with the intro. What makes a good one? A good intro, you got to grab the audience's attention right from the start.
Right away.
Yeah. You could start with a surprising statistic, a thought-provoking question.
Okay.
A funny story, personal anecdote, whatever. Just something to make them curious and want to hear more.
So you're setting the stage and creating a sense of anticipation.
Exactly. And once you've got their attention, you got to clearly state your topic and your main points.
Right. Okay. So you're giving your audience a roadmap for the rest of your speech.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. You want them to know where you're going and how you're going to get there.
Okay. So then what about the body of this speech?
So the body is where you dive into your main points, right?
Mm-hmm.
You give all the evidence, the examples, the explanations that support what you're saying.
Okay.
It's super important to organize it all logically.
Right.
Use clear transitions to guide your audience from one point to the next.
So it's like building a strong argument brick by brick.
Yeah, exactly. You're making a case, even though it's not technically a persuasive speech.
Right. And of course, we can't forget about citations.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
The book is very serious about giving credit where credit is due.
Absolutely. Citing your sources shows that you've done your research and you're presenting solid info.
Right.
And, you know, it helps avoid plagiarism, which is a big no-no.
Right. Yeah. Definitely want to avoid that. Okay, so last but not least, we have the conclusion.
Mm.
How do you wrap things up nicely?
So a strong conclusion should summarize your main points.
Okay.
Reinforce your message.
Right.
And leave a lasting impression on your audience.
Right.
So you could end with like a call to action,
yeah,
a question that makes people think, or even a memorable quote.
So you bring everything full circle and giving the audience something to think about afterward.
Exactly. A good conclusion should make your audience feel like they learned something valuable and that their time wasn't wasted.
Right, yeah. They should feel like they got something out of it.
Exactly. Okay, so we've got the structure down. Now let's talk about like the actual content of your speech.
Right, the good stuff.
Yeah, the meat and potatoes. The book is really big on providing accurate, clear, and interesting information. Sounds obvious, I know.
Right.
But it's surprising how many speeches just totally miss the mark on one of these.
It's like going to a restaurant that looks amazing from the outside.
Yeah.
But then the food is like totally bland.
Exactly. So no matter how good your structure or delivery is, if the info is bad, it's all for nothing. So first, accuracy. Got to make sure your facts are straight.
Yeah, no fake news.
No fake news. Don't just rely on random websites or old sources.
Okay.
Go to reputable sources, double check everything, and make sure it's the most up-to-date information.
Especially with things like statistics or scientific findings, like things are always changing, right?
All the time. What was true a few years ago might be totally debunked now. So gotta stay on top of it.
Okay, makes sense. So we've got accuracy. What about clarity?
Clarity, so important. You gotta make sure your audience can actually understand what you're saying.
Right, right.
No jargon, no technical terms they won't get.
Like trying to explain quantum physics to like a five-year-old.
Exactly. Think about your audience and what they already know. Then you can adjust your language to match.
Okay, cool. So we've got accurate and clear information, but how do we make it interesting? That's the part I always struggle with.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah.
One of the best ways is to always think about the what's in it for me factor from the audience's point of view.
Like, why should they care about what I'm saying? How does it relate to their lives?
Exactly. Find those connections and make them clear. People are way more engaged when they can see how it matters to them.
That's smart.
Mm.
Okay, the book also talks about something called the constitutive, contextual, and cultural aspects of communication.
Oh, yeah. That's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah. Can you break that down for me? Like, what does that even mean?
Basically, it means remembering that information doesn't exist in a vacuum.
Okay.
It's shaped by the people who create it, the context it's presented in, and our own cultural biases.
So even though we think of facts as being objective,
right,
there's always a human element.
Exactly. And as the speaker, you got to be aware of that. You're not just giving facts, you're shaping how your audience understands the world.
Wow, that's a lot of responsibility.
It is. But it's also a powerful opportunity, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
If you present info in a thoughtful way, you can help people see things from a different angle.
Right, right.
You can challenge their assumptions and maybe even inspire them to do something.
So how do we do that? Like, how do we make our info really stick with the audience?
One of the best ways is through storytelling. People connect with stories on an emotional level, and they remember information better when it's wrapped up in a narrative.
Oh, I love a good story.
Yeah.
But how do you work stories into an informative speech?
Well, you could share a personal anecdote that ties into your topic.
Okay.
Or you could tell a historical story that illustrates a key point.
Right.
Or even use a fictional story to help your audience visualize a complicated concept.
So many options. Okay, what about other ways to make info more memorable?
Well, the book talks about using vivid language and imagery. Instead of just stating the facts, try to create pictures with your words.
Okay, so paint a picture.
Yeah. Use metaphors, similes, analogies.
So instead of saying, the economy is growing, I could say, the economy is taking off like a rocket.
Exactly. It's way more engaging, right?
Yeah, I like that.
What else?
Visuals. Charts, graphs, images, videos. They can all make information clearer, more interesting, and easier to remember.
It's like they say, a picture is worth a thousand words.
Right. And these days, it's so easy to include visuals in your speeches. Think PowerPoint, Prezi, all those tools.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about presenting information effectively, but what about being a good listener? What does that even mean?
Well, being a good listener is just as important as being a good speaker, honestly. It's about actively engaging with the info, not just passively taking it in.
So it's not just sitting there and nodding along. Definitely not. It's about asking questions, you know, pushing back on assumptions and forming your own opinions.
So even if someone gives a really well-organized and engaging speech, I shouldn't just take their word for everything.
Absolutely not. You got to be a critical thinker no matter who's speaking or how well they're doing it.
Yep.
Everyone has biases, and even the most well-meaning speakers can make mistakes.
So it's like being a detective.
Yeah.
You gather evidence, weigh different perspectives,
yeah,
and come to your own conclusions.
Exactly. And in today's world, where we're bombarded with info from everywhere, critical thinking is more important than ever.
For sure. Okay, I think we've covered a lot of ground here. We talked about the types of informative speeches, building a strong structure, presenting info effectively, and being a critical listener.
Yeah, we've hit a lot of the key points from Chapter 12. And I think one of the biggest takeaways is that informative speaking is so much more than just reciting facts.
Yeah, totally. It's not just a data dump.
It's about connecting with your audience, sharing what you're passionate about, and encouraging them to learn and grow.
So before we wrap up, any last bits of advice for our listeners, you know, as they're tackling informative speaking?
I think, honestly, the biggest thing is to just remember that it's a skill, right?
Yeah.
Anyone can get better with practice.
Right, right.
So don't be afraid to get out there and try it. The more you do it, the more confident you'll become.
That's so true. I remember being terrified of public speaking in college, like totally petrified.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, the more I did it, the easier it got.
It's like anything else, you know? The more you practice, the less scary it seems. And who knows, you might even start to, like, enjoy it.
Yeah, I actually do enjoy it now. It's kind of a rush getting up there and sharing your knowledge with people.
Totally. And seeing that spark in the audience, you know, knowing you actually got through to them, that they're interested, it's a great feeling.
Okay, well, I think we've covered pretty much everything from Chapter 12 on informative speaking.
Yeah, I think so.
Hopefully you guys got some good insights from this deep dive and are feeling more ready to tackle your next speech.
Absolutely. And remember, if you ever get stuck or feel overwhelmed, don't hesitate to reach out to your professor.
Yeah, or even a classmate.
For sure. There are tons of resources out there to help you on your public speaking journey.